Peace be unto you. Welcome to the Dean Show. Thank you for tuning in. This week we have an exciting episode. As always, we got a former pastor. We got Pastor Coppedge on the Dean Show. We're going to be talking to him, his experiences. We're going to talk about, you know, there's this hit show out there. It's called Preachers of L.A. We call them the Hustlers of L.A. They're Hollywood preachers, and they're pimping the Bentleys, pimping the Ferraris. So we're going to be talking to our guest, Pastor Coppedge, here on the Dean Show to get his perspective so we can all benefit from. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back for this exciting episode of the Dean Show. See you soon.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean, the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean, the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Former pastor, Coppedge.
Yes.
And here on the Dean Show, alhamdulillah, you saw some of these clips. You see, you know, the preachers and the pastors in L.A., Hollywood style. They got the Bentleys. Were you riding, cruising a Bentley back when you were a pastor?
No, I wasn't. Huh? No, I wasn't, but it looks nice, but I wasn't.
It looks nice. I mean, everybody likes nice things. I mean, yes. There's nothing wrong with nice things, but I called this, the Hustlers of L.A. because, you know, there's a lot of hustling going on here. People getting ripped off and people, you know, doing some things. Obviously, I have no doubt that Jesus, peace be upon him, if he was alive today, the one who we love, who we believe he was one of the mightiest messengers that the Creator sent, that, you know, you now as a Muslim, you understand his true mission. But would Jesus agree with a lot of these things that are going on today?
No.
In his name?
Of course not.
Please tell us why.
Okay, because what Jesus, he loves simplicity. Okay, and he loved people to give to the poor, and we never exploited the poor by taking what they give to us to use for ourselves.
So you think that's a lot of this is going on when we see people are actually giving money, and then now these guys are taking that money who's supposed to go back into the community, and I'm sure maybe a small part does, but man, when you look at some of these houses, these are like multi-million dollar houses. Well, Bentley, $200,000, that's strong extravagance, isn't it?
Right.
So this wouldn't be something acceptable, would it?
No, it wouldn't be.
No. So tell us, you are part of a non-denominational, tell us a little bit about your congregation.
Okay, I was a non-denominational pastor, okay, of a Church of Christ, and it was located in Chicago. And the congregation was a small congregation, maybe 100 to between 100 and 150 members in the community. And I used to teach God's plan of salvation, and which was to hear God's word, to believe it. Okay, then one must repent, have a change of heart, then one must confess, and then one must be baptized. This is what I used to teach.
Now we're going to look at this clip right now.
Right here, say,
Lord Jesus,
forgive me for my sins.
Forgive me for my sins.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That
Jesus Christ
died for my sins. In Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name,
I'm saved.
I'm saved.
Okay, so now in the clip, you saw that was like, is that what we're talking about? You used to teach, like what he was saying, that, okay, in Jesus' name, I believe in my heart, and that I repent to you. Everything is about Jesus now. Jesus being God, Jesus repenting, you repenting to Jesus. Is this what you used to teach?
Yes, it is. That's what I used to teach.
Yeah. So now what would you, as a, because obviously now you're a Muslim, one who submits to the will of God, and we believe as Muslims that Jesus was a Muslim, Abraham, Moses, because they all submitted to God. What's the difference now?
The difference now is that God does not have sons, okay? And Jesus, we wouldn't consider him as the Son of God. We consider him as a prophet, as a messenger. And we also know that Jesus taught complete submission to God's will, and that's Islam.
Now, where do people get this idea? Where would you say now, as a pastor, former pastor, you know, you were preaching and teaching a lot of this stuff that goes far away from the true teachings of pure monotheism, worshiping the Creator alone, not his creation. Where where do people get some of these evidences from? Obviously from the Bible, but, you know, how do they go so far away from the true teaching? Because, I mean, it seems quite simple. Worship the Creator, not His creation. But how do you go to give all of these rights that belong to the Creator to Jesus now?
Because they twist it and they change the word from their right places. Mm-hmm. And that's how they do it.
Yeah. So you got to see this firsthand?
Yes, I got a chance to see this firsthand.
Give us some details, like give us some things that you can elaborate more on this.
Okay, when it comes down to Presbyterian churches, or I would say a sanctified church, and you have people that are speaking in tongues. Okay, of course I was a non-denominational pastor, and we didn't believe that speaking in tongues was authoritative, because in the Bible it says that if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or be by three, and let one interpret. If there be no interpreter, then let him keep silent in the church. But in the sanctified church, they teach that a person has the ability to speak in tongues, and by using this theatrics, they then convince the people that they are true, they are right, and that you should give to their cause.
Mm-hmm. Now, the more important thing is that we know that throughout time, obviously, the Creator, out of His love, mm-hmm. for God so loved the world that He sent prophets and messengers to guide mankind.
That's true.
But you were at one time preaching and teaching that for God so loved the world that He sent His
only begotten Son.
And what does that actually imply? Now, talk about this.
That implies that God has sons. Right now, I believe that would imply that God has sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, uncles, aunties, a beginning, an end, a mother, and a father. But God doesn't have all of that.
Hold on. But someone says, hold on. It just says His son. How did you get auntie, uncle, cousin, kin, Kent? How did you get all that from this?
Because if I was to believe that God had a son, I had to believe that God had a daughter as well. And if I believe He had a daughter, I believe that He had a cousin, that He had an uncle, that He had an auntie, that He had all these things. And which doesn't really too much make sense. We can't attribute that to God.
No, in Islam, is you cut all that off.
Yes.
No children.
God doesn't have any children. Okay. God is, there's nothing comparable unto Him. Mm-hmm. And God said He is one, the irresistible. He begets not, nor is He begotten. And there's none like unto Him.
That's pretty straightforward, simple. It's the message that all the messengers of God came. So when you examine this verse, that God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, whoever believes in Him, how does the rest of the verse go?
That whoever believes in Him will have everlasting life.
But can't we say as Muslims that, hey, I mean, we would qualify more for this because, A, if you say believe in Jesus, it's an article of faith to believe that He was one of the mightiest messengers of God. So we believe in Him.
We do believe in Jesus.
And it doesn't say anywhere in this verse that now that you have to believe that He's God incarnate, that He's the literal Son of God, that He died for your sins. It doesn't even say that in that verse, does it?
No, it doesn't. And no one knows until the very end, when the day of judgment, who's going to have everlasting good life. But whether it's going to be a good life or a bad life after and the afterlife, no one knows until the day of judgment.
I mean, the only one who has that authority now to give visas to paradise or to hellfire is the Creator.
That's correct.
Yeah. But the guidelines obviously are there. What qualifies one, obviously what we need to do to achieve that ultimate reward in the next, and what we have to do to stay away from the hellfire. That's pretty clear, isn't it?
That's crystal clear.
And now, one of the ultimate things that now all the messengers call people away from, and please emphasize that this is setting up a partner with God. We call it every shirk.
Yes.
And this
associating partner with God, because God doesn't have any partners.
Yeah.
He's one. He is the Creator. Everything else is created.
Mm-hmm. So when we come back, I want to ask you. We talked about these LA preachers.
Mm-hmm.
The Hollywood preachers, and can you relate to that? Is that kind of like the style that you were?
Nowhere near that.
Nowhere near that.
Because the non-denominational Christianity, all of that is looked down upon, as far as people who trick the hearts and the minds of men in order to have personal gain.
Mm-hmm. How about if someone says, "Look, you changed, or you went in another direction." Now you didn't have the Holy Ghost. You weren't full of the Holy Spirit. What would you say to that?
I would ask them to define me what the Holy Ghost is.
And has someone defined that to you?
No, they haven't been able to do that yet.
No? Okay.
No.
We're going to be right back with more with former Pastor Coppedge here on The Dean Show. Right back.
So, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say He, Allah, is one. God is one.
The maker of mankind.
Exactly. Allah is Samad. Allah is self-sufficient. He doesn't need food or drink. He doesn't need to rest on the seventh day. Okay, I really had a problem with that even before I knew anything about Islam. God resting sounds like a weak God.
Yeah.
Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not. He doesn't have any children, nor is he a child or born of anything or anyone. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And there is nothing co-equal or comparable unto him at all.
Nobody.
Nothing.
Jesus. Nobody. Nobody's comparable to the Creator.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And that right there was, in its essence, what I believe naturally.
Back here on The Dean Show with former Pastor Kopich. Now, tell us a little bit more about you, because it's really unique. You know, people hear so many negative things nowadays through the media about Islam. And now they see, hold on, what's going on? Why would this guy, you know, who's a Christian, why would he accept Islam?
I accepted Islam because when at the end of my pastorship as a Christian pastor, well, take it. I knew that when I first was studying to be a pastor, that I wanted to live a life of righteousness. I wanted to live for God. Okay, no matter where it was going to be. So if it wasn't with Christianity, I knew it would be with another religion. And so I knew this. So at the end of my pastorship, when I was forced to resign, okay, I did some soul searching, and then I read some books. And I read some books. One was called Message to the Black Man by Elijah Muhammad. That was the first book that I read on Islam. And so I took this book to the masjid, and they told me that has some truth in it, but it's really not the truth about Islam, and if you want to learn, we're going to teach you. And so then the masjid, they taught me what Islam was about, and they gave me some books by a brother named Ahmed Didat. And when I read his books, the first book I read was Crucifixion or Crucifixion. And it was spelled crucifixion with an X, or crucifixion like fiction and nonfiction. And this particular book, it convinces one with the Bible that the crucifixion didn't really take place in the way the Bible has said. Mm-hmm. And so then I had to go further. And I said, this is really interesting. Okay, this must be the truth. And so then I went and searched a little bit further.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened?
And then what happened was I was convinced that Islam was the way of life because it was more, it was more structured. It told me how to eat. It told me how to sleep. It told me how to walk. It told me how to talk. And it told me how to do everything. It didn't leave no stone unturned. And so these things were very easy for me to understand. And the one part that really convinced me is when I read about the creation of the baby in the womb of the mother who's pregnant. And it goes very detailed about how the baby is formed in the womb. Now, this was 1,400 years ago. Medical science is not really, it just recently found this out. And when I read that, I knew that this was the truth.
You said also in speaking before that you actually, when someone starts to give you references from the Bible where it says that, and they tried to substantiate this claim that Jesus was actually the literal Son of God, that he was one with God. So they say that, okay, Jesus said that I and the Father are one. No one comes to the Father except through me. They say that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. So there's other verses that people will use and say, look, you know, you're actually wrong, Pastor Kopich, or former Pastor Kopich. No, you got to come back to Christianity because you didn't see these verses. What would you say?
The first thing I say to them is that the Bible was not revealed in English, and that whenever you read something in a language other than what's revealed, you're relying upon the translators, okay? And the things that you say that the Bible said in English, Jesus himself, he'd never said. And when we go back to the originals, to the Hebrew and to the Greek, we find out that the words have been changed to the point that if you go in the Old Testament Hebrews, okay, in the Song of Solomon, it says in the English, okay, so lovely is he. And if you look at the Hebrew, it uses the word Muhammadan. Okay, so the Prophet Muhammad was mentioned by name in the Hebrew Old Testament, but they translated names, just like they translated Peter in the New Testament as the rock. So this is what happened.
So you have a lot of mistranslation. You have actually a lot of addition. I mean, we'll go to a clip right now. This is like one of the top Bible scholars in the world today. He used to also be a former Christian. And again, we never want to, you know, belittle anybody or disparage on anybody. It's really just trying to get people to think out the box. And that's what you did. So we're going to go to this clip real quick. And this is what this Bible scholar has to say about the Bible today.
For a long time, I thought that the Bible was inspired and inerrant, that there were no mistakes in the Bible. But as I engaged in historical research on the Bible, as I was getting my PhD in New Testament studies at Princeton Theological Seminary, I started finding mistakes in the Bible. And this cut away at my assumptions that the Bible was inerrant. And then I started questioning other parts of my faith. Is Jesus really divine? Is there really a Trinity?
So now, in contrast to the Quran, we know the Quran we have in its original, tamper-free, tamper-proof. It's one of the living miracles. But here, when people see this, you know, this is a scholar of Christianity, of the Bible. He said we don't have a copy of a copy of a copy of any original Bible or anything close of that. Did you know that at that time when you were a pastor?
At first, I didn't. But later, I found out that we didn't have the originals of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And we relied upon that what we had, and that's what I was convinced to believe, that what we have was all we can work with, and that was God's, that was His choice to give that to us.
But there's also another verse that people use when you bring this up, that whoever changes anything, that the wrath of God will be upon them.
Yeah, that's Revelation 22 verses 18 and verse 19. For this is when John was banished to the island of Patmos. He revealed this and said, "For if I testify to any man, if he add unto the words of the book of this prophecy, I shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. For if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, I shall take his name out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and out of the things that are written therein."
So what do you say when someone uses this as, they say they use this as evidence that the Bible hasn't been changed?
Okay, basically, this scripture was used by the non-denominational Christians to say that you couldn't add to the worship or take away from the worship service as pertaining to God. Because what the different denominational churches do, they add things into the worship service that was not originally a part of what the Bible said. So this is what the scripture was used for.
I mean, and do you think like a lot of these pastors, like these LA preachers now, do you think many of them capitalize on the people's ignorance now? Because it's like a feel-good philosophy. You come into the church, it's like a discotheque, a nightclub. And again, we're not trying to just put, you know, disparage or on anybody, but think out the box. Now everybody's dancing, and what are your thoughts on this? It's a party.
It's theatrics. Uh-huh. Okay, it's an entertainment. It's a show. Okay, and people want to be entertained. They will pay to be entertained. The entertainment industry makes billions of dollars every year because people thrive off entertainment.
But now, I mean, again, you're playing with the way of life that's not supposed to be played with.
True.
You know, this is the truth, you know, that's sent down from the Creator through all the messengers, and we're not to be tampering with it, taking it to a nightclub and doing all of these other things. No, if it's the truth, you have to protect it and save it and not just modify it to fit your people's desires, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So we got some more. You going to stick around for some more?
Yes.
We're going to go take a break.
All right.
And God willing, we'll be right back to talk to former Pastor Coppedge here on The Dean Show.
The Quran and then the Sunnah of the Prophet, the fact that you have an application. So you have, you know, the beauty of Islam is that not only is our text, our scripture, preserved so flawlessly, but the interpretation of the scripture is preserved so flawlessly, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's example. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, explained he was a walking Quran, which is, so if I can't understand this word, I can just go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life and I can see even the Sunnah has been preserved flawlessly, alhamdulillah.
Do you want to know what makes knowledge grow? Then everybody watch the Dean Show. Dean Show. Are you ready. Your host is Eddie. If there is something you want to know,
if there is something you want to
sit
know,
right back and watch the Dean Show. The Dean Show.
Back here on the Dean Show, and we're trying to get people to think out the box, right?
Yep.
So let's give a live visual. Here we have the
Catholic Bible.
And this one is 66.
Yes.
So this is the King James. So now you have this book, the Revised Standard Version. This is 1952. And when we open it up, we see that they tell us that these are like 32 scholars of the highest eminence, you know, backed by 50 cooperating denominations, like the highest church. They say that the King James Version has Graves' defects, so many so serious as to call for a revision. So we did you know that the King James Version, now this one is thrown out. They've thrown out what was in this Bible. And in the King James Version, there's grave defects, so many so serious that now there's like some trouble here. I mean, did you
they're
know
speaking
all
about the no, they're speaking about English.
Uh-huh.
And the King James Bible was written in 1611.
Yeah.
And they're speaking about English, and they're speaking about another English Bible, yeah, the Revised Standard Version. And none of God's messengers spoke English.
No.
So what are they talking about?
Mm-hmm. So how did you make sense of this all now? That now, what was this transition that you made? Was this like a stepping stone that, you know, you used to come to Islam? How did you, because you obviously started studying and finding all these things out, how did you end up becoming
a Muslim? Yes, Christianity was used as a stepping stone to Islam. Most definitely was not a stumbling block.
Uh-huh.
Because everything that I've learned as far as being Muslim in the Quran, it verifies some of the things that I've learned in Christianity. Okay? And it's more similarities than differences.
Yeah.
And the ones that are true Muslims who are sincerely seeking to serve Allah, and the ones who are sincerely from the best of our ability as far as knowing that they strive to be a good Christians, they're close to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us that the Christians are closest, I mean, to Muslims.
Yeah, and that's why it's out of this love that we have for, you know, our brothers in humanity that we want to bring these things to light. Showing people that Jesus, peace be upon him, we love him. You can go to the hell. People don't know that. If you don't believe in Jesus, because it's one of the articles of faith to believe in the messengers, Jesus being one of those messengers. So as a Muslim, if you don't believe in Jesus and all the messengers, reject one, reject them all. You that's a one-way ticket to the hellfire. Is that not?
That's true.
Yeah. So we love Jesus.
We love Jesus.
So do you?
We love him in the best sense.
Yes.
Because we love in the message that he taught in the true sense.
Yeah.
And none of the things that they may have changed, as far as the Bible is concerned, to say that he said this, and we know that he didn't say that, because even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us that he's going to, on Yom Kiyama, he's going to question, he's going to ask Jesus, did he say this or did he say that? Not because Allah doesn't know, but because he's going to profess this in front of the people, he's going to be asked, did you say that you was the Son of God? Mm-hmm. Did you tell them to worship you? And Jesus is going to say, I never said such things.
Mm, so this is like an event now that's going to happen in the future, that on the day of judgment, God is going to ask, did you say to the people to take me and my mother as gods next to God? He says, no way.
I never said that.
No way. I mean, no way, Jose.
Right.
No, you didn't say Jose, but, you know, right, there's no way. He called people to worship
one
my
God.
Lord and your God.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And that's in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it?
Yes. Worship my Father who art in heaven. It says that in the Lord's Prayer, but even though we don't call Allah our Father.
Yeah. Some scholars say that, you know, because there's such a similarity between, in Arabic, it's Ab, Father, and mm-hmm, Lord is Rab. So they also could have messed this up. So
right.
It's called, oh, my Lord who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And there's no problem with, this is a great prayer for, would you say, a Christian to start? Because you see Christians, many people praying through Jesus. Why don't they stick with this prayer, you know, and not bring a middleman in the middle? This could be a start for God facilitating a way of guidance, right?
Most definitely.
Yeah. Because go ahead, let's talk about this briefly, this Lord's Prayer. It says it's all praise to the
to the one creator.
It's all praise to God.
To God. Right. And if you call upon God asking for guidance, definitely he'll facilitate a way. Is that right?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Did you make this prayer a lot?
No, I didn't make that prayer a lot. And non-denominational Christianity is quite different than not denominational Christianity. And a lot of things that we see today, it's like non-denominational Christianity is in the back. You can't see what's going on.
What do you mean?
Meaning that it's hidden from the populace. It's hidden from the people. Because the smallest churches, the smallest congregations are the churches of Christ. The only church name that's mentioned in the Bible is Church of Christ. Mm-hmm. There's no other name that's mentioned. Presbyterian, such and such and so and so church. These names are not mentioned in the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the non-denominational Christianity is very small, but the denominational Christianity is very big and has the most followers and produces the most confusion among the people.
Yeah. So what was it finally that had you accept this way of life that obviously Jesus was upon? Jesus submitted not to himself, not to anything in creation. He submitted to the will of God. That's Islam. One word sums it all up. So what finally had you accept Islam?
What finally had me accept Islam is after I studied with Imam Ibrahim, okay? And this was at Mosque Umar on the south side of Chicago. And after he gave me the book on crucifixion, it really solidified my understanding that this was the way of God. This was the right way. Because everything that the Christian faith stands upon is based upon the crucifixion. Everything. Without the crucifixion, Christianity won't exist. Mm-hmm. Without everything that's attached to him dying upon the cross for our sins, without that, Christianity won't exist. Mm-hmm. So once I was shown from this particular book that the crucifixion didn't happen in the way that they say it happened, with the evidence from the Bible itself, it made me understand and believe that Islam is a complete way of life. And this is what I chose to believe in and to accept and to adopt into my life.
How about this concept also of someone dying for your sins? You mentioned that you really weren't even convinced of this as a pastor. Is that right?
As a pastor, I didn't believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, because in one place it says that, in another place it says that every man must bear his own burden. And these two things seem like they were contradictory. Because if every man must bear his own burden, then how could one man bear the burden of all?
Yeah, so you have a conflict, you have a contradiction there.
Right.
And in Islam, the way of life that, you know, all the messengers taught and brought personal accountability. God is the most loving. You turn to the most loving God and you repent sincerely and he forgives all sins.
Right. And in Islam as well, every man must bear his own burden.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah.
Thank you for being with us. We got to go.
Welcome.
We're out of time. May the creator of the heavens and earth reward you. We started with peace. We end with peace. Peace be with you.
Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Deen Show. Some of these things we bring to light to really have you think out of the box. Now, let me give you an example. Imagine someone bought you something real simple, like a cup of coffee. And everyone was pointing to you, wondering where this cup of coffee is coming from. And everyone's pointing to the gentleman over there. But now, that person, instead of thanking you, you know, they just looked past you and didn't even sign, didn't even smile. You know, you'd really think, what a not so nice person. I was going to say arrogant, but what a not so nice person. That's just a cup of coffee. What about the one who gave you the ability to taste this coffee? The one who gave you the taste buds with the over 100 taste cells? So, I mean, do we really ponder and think for all the blessings that the maker of mankind has given us? And what better way to thank him than acknowledging him and his favors upon us and thanking him directly and alone? And that was the message that all of the messengers, including Jesus, he called people to only worship the Creator, to give all praise and thanks to the Creator, not to himself, not to put him as a middleman next to God,
make him one in three in a Trinity? No. He called people to worship only God. And so did the last and final messenger sent to mankind, who was the brother of Jesus, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Moses and Abraham and all the other countless messengers that the Creator sent to, out of his love to guide humanity. So if you're one of our Christian brothers who are tuning in, brothers in humanity, why don't you start with this simple prayer that's in the Bible? It's the Lord's Prayer, calling upon the one maker. O our Lord who art in heaven, O my Creator who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, meaning that you're the owner of everything that exists, that all praise is to you. You're glorifying God. That is a commonality between us that we can build on. And if you thank your Creator and you ask him the same way that Jesus was teaching you in the Bible, Jesus never taught you to put him in the middle and go through him. No, straight to God, direct dial-up, and that makes sense. That makes sense. Try that. If there's any other things that you'd like to have us cover here on the Dean Show, also you can follow us on the Facebook, Twitter. Give us your suggestions on any topics that you'd like to see us cover. And I hope that this show has had you think out of the box and hopefully is of some benefit. And we hope to see you again next time. Until then, peace be unto you.